Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening, this is John Johnson broadcasting on Radio Edutalk. Tonight, our guest is Michelle Mackey. And Michelle will introduce herself in a wee minute, but she's got a primary and early years background, I think, and currently studying at the University of Dundee. Good evening, Michelle.
Evening.
Oh, and as usual, I've forgotten to... Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, I've got you now. As usual, I like to have a kind of relaxing futz at the start of these things where I don't have the audio coming through as soon as I click the live button. We are live now, though, Michelle. Maybe you could start off and smooth over my mistakes by giving us an introduction to yourself. Where have you been? Where have you come from? And what do you do?
Okay, well, I'm Michelle, obviously. I'm primarily an early years practitioner, I suppose. I've worked in nurseries and early years settings for a long time. I trained down in England with a BTEC national diploma, which I don't think actually exists anymore. But mostly working with preschool, that's kind of where I was mostly interested because it's the mixture of kind of the care side of things and the education side of things. So I worked down in England for a few years and then moved up to Scotland, and I've worked in nurseries up here as well. Particularly enjoyed working in one of the nurseries, was a nature nursery, so a lot of outdoor play and learning through nature and things, which I'm really interested in, really passionate about outdoor learning. Moved up into kind of the realms of management and things like that, but didn't really take to that very much. So moved on to my new challenge, which is training to be a primary teacher, which is why I'm at University of Dundee just now.
Brilliant. I didn't know about the nature and the outdoor thing. We'll maybe roll back at that at some point, because we've had a couple of people on here talking about forest school and the likes, and it always seems like really quite an exciting area, so maybe talk about that. But one of the things, one of the reasons that seemed interesting to have a chat is your use of sort of blogging and Twitter and social media, and that sort of flows into the new work that's currently going on at the University of Dundee. And we had Derek on talking about the setup, and I had, you know, bits and pieces to do with the aggregation site. But can you maybe give us a wee bit of background about your blog? Because you blog at laughterandlearningblog.wordpress.com as one of your blogs. And this is the early years one. I wonder if we could start talking about that, when you started and how you started and why and the likes.
Well, actually, that's my second blog. I had a previous one on Blogspot, but ended up moving over. I don't know why. Fresh start, maybe. The reason I got into blogging in kind of the earliest capacity is just because I get quite excited about ideas and sharing my ideas with other people and getting their feedback and hearing their ideas back again. I really think in the whole world of education professionals, we need to be good at sharing things and picking up good practice as much as possible. So, and also I enjoy blogging because it helps me to kind of process my own thoughts and get them in order. So when I'm thinking of ideas to work with children, by blogging about it, I can find out things I hadn't thought of before. For example, how it fits into the curriculum, or how I could take it off in another direction or something like that. So, my earliest blog has been a little bit neglected lately. It's more of a, when I get inspired, I write on it. Not so regular. But I use Twitter far more often, and that's kind of just easier to pick up, and whenever an idea pops in your head, you can just tweet it. It takes a lot less effort, I suppose.
I haven't looked at the old Blogspot blog much, but I've noticed both your trainee teacher one and the Laughter and Learning blogs, they're quite sort of well, and I don't, I'm not trying to be patronising you, but they're well put together posts with a lot of detail and, you know, well laid out and well thought out.
Are you
using these as a planning tool? Are you blogging about ideas that maybe before you've used them in the class, and or is that part of the writing process, or is it after you've used them in the class, or?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. Particularly with the early years one, I'll either blog when I've had an idea and I think I can go then and use it with the children, or, you know, it hasn't quite come around yet, but I think in future I'll be able to use that. Or it's something I have used and it's worked really well, and I thought, oh, you know, I'd like to document that and share that with other people. With the university one, obviously, I haven't gone out on placement yet. I go out next week in my first placement. So mostly at the moment, it's thinking things through before I put them into practice, with a view to kind of going back and reviewing them in the future and seeing what's worked and how I've changed my thinking about certain things. And yeah.
Yeah. So the early years one, did you start that when you were still down south?
I'm struggling to remember, because, like I said, I've done it for quite a while, intermittently. But I'm pretty sure that, no, it would have been since I've been up in Scotland,
up here.
Actually.
Yeah. And is there a community sort of early years bloggers that you're connected to and read each other's blogs, or?
I follow quite a lot of different early years blogs, just for my own interest. I'm not so connected with them. I'm more connected through the Twitter connections that I have. And I tend to find with my blog, people don't tend to reply on the blog or give me comments, but they will tweet me instead. So there's a lot more backwards and forwardsing and conversation through that way.
So maybe this is a time, talking of Twitter, because it's forgotten almost already. There's been a few people out there tweeting the fact that we're talking now. And if you are listening and you've got any questions for Michelle, if you pop them into Twitter with the hashtag EduTalk, or at John Johnson, or indeed at early Years Ideas, we'll try and pick them up and catch them and take them on. So, I mean, I think in blogging, a lot of the conversation has gone away from the comments and onto Twitter, which it sort of disappoints me slightly, but I'm probably as guilty as anybody else, because I used to do an awful lot more commenting on blogs, and probably only a few times a week now.
I think people find it a lot less formal to just send a tweet to someone about something, rather than when you comment on a blog, it sits there and people can go back and read it later and things like that. So maybe it's a little bit intimidating to comment on somebody's blog, whereas a tweet, it pops up, but then it gets lost in the feed or, you know, whatever. So
yeah, I think there's a balance between, you know, length and depth and ease of use and all the rest of it, and it's an interesting one. And I guess this is, I mean, even if we look back at how long blogging's been around and Twitter's been around, it's not very long, and we're just sort of scratching the surface of these mediums and finding our way with them and all the rest of it. And I mean, you're saying that blogging you get a lot out of because of the way you think. And can you maybe think of, this is a really hard question, actually. Can you maybe think of an example of that? Something that, how that's worked for you?
This is probably more related to the university blog rather than my early years one. But we've done quite a lot of, we've been set certain tutor-directed tasks where we've been asked to go and think about something and blog about it. And particularly, our own opinions and thoughts on topics like well, the value of reflection. So that was one of the ones we did. And although I have reflected in the past in my work, I'm constantly reflecting on what works with the children, what doesn't, things like that. But when you actually have to go away and write a post about it, it helps you to think a little bit more deeply and to kind of link in with other sources. So you're actually becoming slightly more academic about it, I suppose. And it's also really helpful with regard to your teacher training. You have to achieve the you have to show how you're meeting the standards for provisional registration. So through blogging and putting everything into writing on there, I suppose you're showing clear links to how you've kind of thought about these all these different areas that you have to meet as well. It's working. It works as good evidence, I suppose.
And Michelle, that's one thing. I mean, you had a history of blogging before you came to the University of Dundee.
Yeah.
Were you expecting this to happen?
With regard to
the University of Dundee and it being, I don't suppose, a requirement of the course, but, you know, it seems in your group quite
Yeah, it's not a requirement, but it is, it's definitely encouraged. No, I wasn't expecting it. It was put to us when we started the course as being something we should engage with, really, because for teachers, you need to have a professional commitment and be willing to continually reflect and to want to improve. So, so when it was put to us, it kind of just made sense to me, and it felt quite natural for me to move into blogging in that way. I suppose I was lucky because I already have been blogging in the past.
So that's my next kind of question is, how did it go down with the other people? Was there, you know, much sort of gasps of horror or anything like that from your fellow students?
I think it has been challenging for some students, more to do with when you blog and you put it out there for everyone to see. You know, you might be concerned about the comments you get back or how you're being perceived, and you know, you want to make a good impression. So I think some people have been slightly more hesitant to share their posts in more public ways and to comment on other people's and to kind of get into that collaborative mindset. But everybody has been using it, particularly when we are set specific tasks, but a lot of students have been just kind of blogging about anything they found particularly interesting or things in the news, and it's helpful for everybody else to just look through the posts and see what everyone's thinking about and spark off your own ideas.
I mean, it's been amazing to watch, I think, because thinking back to when the sort of first flush of bloggers and educational bloggers in Scotland started, which is probably just over 10 years ago now, I think a lot of us were convinced that this was going to sweep through the profession, and everybody in the profession would be blogging away all over the place, and it didn't kind of happen. You know, there's a few people in Scotland, a fair number blogging, and Twitter pulled in an awful lot more onto social media, but you can see that maybe this is the way to grow that, is to start people when they're starting their professional journey, I think.
Yeah, I do think it's something, because you develop your blogging skills, I suppose, throughout the 4 years that you're doing your training. You're getting lots of feedback all the time. So then when you go out into your professional role in the schools, you've already got that kind of background and foundations to build on.
I wonder if you've talked about, I mean, if you're going out to the first placement quite soon.
Yes.
And how you deal with reflecting about that online? Has there been any discussion about, because I can imagine that would be challenging and, you know, possibly problematic.
A lot of our reflections with regard to placement are more, we obviously have placement folders and we write up everything that relates to that as evidence of our training. I think I would be wary about what we post on the public blogs with regard to placements, just, well, obviously confidentiality and things like that. I would personally blog about things that have gone particularly well, or maybe how I've overcome a particular challenge if I thought it would be helpful to the other students, maybe to read about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely put more thought into what kind of things I'm blogging about in that respect than I do about my normal posts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh no, and I think, you know, certainly probably the college you'll be working in school will be not something they are necessarily used to. Because I say we didn't do very well in penetrating the whole of the profession or enthusing them with nonsense about blogging. I'm really interested to see how this goes and how people take it on through their placements and through their actual ones to actually start teaching.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some really good class blogs and things like that when I've been doing my research, and that's something I would definitely be interested in when I hopefully eventually become a qualified teacher. I think it's a great way to create homeschool links and to just engage students, kind of take it that bit, they're learning that bit further as well, having the blog.
So, and that's maybe, I mean, yeah, this idea of blogging with students, and it's certainly where I started blogging with students about before I started blogging about what could loosely be termed education in my case, that seems to me that it still hasn't we haven't exploited it enough yet. But I wonder if you've got any thoughts as somebody coming into the profession about things around getting pupils blogging, around safety, and around, I guess, workload as well.
Yeah, I would say that time is probably a huge factor in it. Obviously, teachers have all their paperwork and planning and everything to do, so maybe they just have the opinion that blogging is one extra thing on top of everything else. I'm not sure, to be honest. I would be interested throughout my 4 years doing my qualifications. It'd be interesting to see if any of my placements do kind of get involved with class blogging and how they would use it and what works and what doesn't work. At the moment, I'm not really sure.
I'll maybe move on then to I said this is probably not very structured because I was thinking we're starting early years, but you blog as early years ideas.
Yes.
Your tweet rather as early years ideas, and how did you start getting into Twitter, and what brought that about?
I originally had a personal Twitter, but I didn't really use it. It was it was just like an extension of Facebook, so that went down the pan. But I saw how kind of companies and other people were using Twitter in a more almost like a structured way, if that makes sense. And I kind of thought while I was doing my blog and stuff like that, it would be interesting to see what people were, whether people were interested really. And it just kind of went from there. I like I said before, I think that Twitter's an easier way for people to engage. It's slightly less formal, and it's you kind of make friends over Twitter. I suppose I have a group of people who I would consider my friends, but I've never met them.
Yeah.
But it's great for practitioners and students and everybody to be able to connect with people from all over the world. And if you've just got 10 minutes when you're waiting for a bus or something, you just scroll through Twitter and pick up all kinds of comments and ideas and links to reading and things that you would never come across normally. So I'm a big fan of Twitter.
It's interesting. I was talking to another sort of less educational podcast on Sunday, to a friend of mine who works in higher education, and we're talking about the sort of the harassment and the sort of darker side of Twitter. And what I was saying basically is I don't see that very often. In fact, not really at all. I've never had any even light snark, I don't think, personally on Twitter. And I wonder if you've had any thoughts on that. And
I haven't had any kind of anything nasty or anything like that. I've had professional discussions with people. Like, you're never going to agree with everything that everybody says. But I think if you approach it in a kind of having the mentality of we're supporting each other, we're learning from each other kind of way, then, you know, it doesn't need to turn nasty. I think if someone was being abusive or just unpleasant to me over Twitter, I would just wouldn't reply. It's quite easy just to switch off from it. But really, I can't say that I've seen a lot of it. Pretty much everybody that I've connected with have been very positive and really willing to share ideas and thoughts about things. And yeah, it's been a positive experience for me, definitely.
It's brilliant, because I'm thinking of the Stephen Fry just bailed out, and he was a big Twitter fan. And even talking to some sort of edgy bloggers from down south who are sort of retreating into more private channels, because they just feel that there's too much argument there. And I don't know, I suspect the Scottish sort of Twitterati or edgy Twitterati or whatever you call them are slightly, you know, there's not as many, and they're not as fevered.
I do share, I take part in numerous Twitter chats that aren't just to do with the university or aren't just Scottish. There's one which is hashtag Kinder Chat on a Monday night, which is earliest professionals from all over the world, really. People engage from all over the place. And myself and two other ladies host a chat on a Wednesday night, actually, this time, 8 o'clock, called Childcare Hour, where people engage from all over the place discussing different topics. And I've never had any, we've never had any issues, we've never had anything horrible, any reason to stop sharing. It's all been very positive.
I mean, that, as I say, I've never had anything, but every so often you get some negativity from people. And do you think about anything around safety or identity or anything like that on when you're using Twitter?
It is something I'm aware of. I prefer not to put my full name out there or anything like that. Obviously, my name's on this, but my Twitter obviously is under the name Early As Ideas. It doesn't have my picture or anything like that on it. Any other social media I use, I make sure everything's very private. My Twitter and my blogs are all done in a way that I don't feel like there's anything that would need to be kept private, publicised on there. So, it is. It's always in the back of my mind, kind of, this internet safety and things. But I think as long as you're sensible and careful with it, it's not an issue, really.
Do you have, what we've noticed, what I've certainly noticed over the last year or two, is a huge number of schools using Twitter as a sort of broadcast and sharing with parents. And I don't know, do you have any views on that? Do you think that's a good thing? Did you ever do that when you were working in early years?
It's not something that I've done myself. I've seen other schools and settings doing it. I think it's a good idea to be able to share with parents via social media, but I would be cautious of posting photographs of children and things like that on any kind of social media. Again, just going back to the safety side of it. So if I was going to use it for a nursery or a school point of view, I would probably tweet about the things we're learning and things we're doing, but I would keep kind of the more personal details to definitely more private channels.
No, it seems to me that I always feel that if I wouldn't wear it in a t-shirt, I wouldn't put it on the internet, because it's easy to copy once it's there. But certainly where I work in North Lanarkshire, I guess there's 125 primary schools, and I know now of nearly 80 of them who have got Twitter accounts, which is up from almost zero 2 years ago, I think.
Wow.
And there's a lot of photographs on there. One of the things we kind of do is talk to schools about not naming pupils and not identifying them and keeping still things out. But it's quite a fascinating way, if you get an overview, to see what's going on in different schools and get an idea of what's happening.
I think it is really positive to make the links between home and school or nursery as well, because parents and families only really get a snapshot of what goes on during the day for their children, so any extra kind of insight they can get is always really helpful, in my opinion. Especially when we're addressing in nurseries the just playing issue, when they think children just play all day.
Yeah, it must be nice. I to be a nurseries teacher, because of course you just what was it they used to say about primary school teachers, is you play with the beans and sing songs. What do you think about that? I mean, when you're just playing, what's going on?
There's no such thing as just playing, right, in my opinion. Playing, for young children, playing is learning. You develop all your skills and you develop that kind of love for learning right early on. So through, for example, outdoor play, so playing in mud kitchens or going for a walk, children are learning social skills, there's maths and literacy brought in there, there's curiosity, investigation, there's all kinds of skills they're learning. Obviously, it's the role of the teachers or the early years practitioners to explain that to families, but it can be difficult when parents come in and they hear the child's been playing outside all day and they think that they haven't achieved anything, but they've achieved a whole lot.
We've talked to one or two people, and I've also been at a few presentations about things like forest schools and outdoor nurseries and things like that, and it just seems a natural thing to do, to my mind. And I've certainly noticed that children nowadays, say if I go back 50 years, I was outdoors an awful lot more 50 years ago than 7-year-olds are now. I guess that's something that's important to redress. And just skimming down your Twitter stream here, I've come across a pallet climbing wall.
Oh yeah, somebody posted that in our chat last week, I think. Again, that was just sharing ideas. Somebody was getting ready to do their garden in the nursery up, and they were asking for ideas, so people were posting things that they can do, and things that they've used in their own gardens that have worked, or things that they would like to try. And somebody said that they had pallets, so everyone was looking for ideas. I think the pallet climbing wall was actually made by one of the people who were in the Twitter chat, which was quite impressive.
I
would like one of those.
it just looks great. And to describe it to listeners, it's basically a pallet that is opened out, it's a forklift pallet that's opened out into a tent, I guess. And they've got what looked like quite professional sort of climbing wall footholds nailed onto it, and a bit of a slide, which looks as if it's been planed a wee bit and smoothed over, but the whole thing looks quite rough and ready, which is maybe its attraction. And you said mud kitchens.
Oh yeah, I like a mud kitchen.
Yeah.
It's essentially just having almost like the toys and things you might have in a home corner, so your bowls and your spoons and your bits and bobs like that, and having them outside in the mud, where children could be making their mud pies and whatnot. And it really works for children. They really love it, and it's a great way to bring in recipes and weighing and measuring and playing shops. So you've got your language and literacy and role play and things like that all in into the outdoor area. That can be quite a nice way for the children who might not really engage with, might not choose to go outside and just run around or things like that, so that they might enjoy taking something that could be done inside into the outdoor area.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And also getting a chance to get muddy.
Yeah, there's mud and there's this, what do they call it, materials, like loose materials idea, where you've got different things that are attractive to pupils.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we can kind of leave the, like, you've certainly not left the early years world behind, because you're very engaged in that world. But to go to the University of Dundee, where you've got this blogging, and one of the interesting things to me, and you know, is the aggregation, because I've been talking about RSS constantly to looks of boredom and blankness for quite a few years, and I just look really excited by the fact that I can go to the University of Dundee hub and they're pulling in all these different people's, all the different students' blogs, so yeah, you can keep together there. Do you read each other's blogs?
Well, when we were set the task of doing the blogs in the first place, we were assigned into groups to encourage us to read the blogs of our group and comment on those. However, personally, I've found that there's certain people who update their blogs more regularly, who I'll check more often, or because I find it all quite interesting and I really enjoy it, I do fairly regularly go on to the hub, like you say, and have a read of what's being put on there. And I know quite a few students and lecturers do check all the blogs fairly regularly and comment and things like that. I'm the same as you. I find it really interesting to see what everyone's been up to and what they're thinking about, and see if they're kind of in the same place as I am sometimes.
Yeah, the other thing is that I guess for some of the time these are people that you'll see during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, does it, to read somebody's blog as well as chat to them in the coffee bar or bar or whatever, does that change anything about the way you, your attitude towards them maybe?
I don't think so, because although we're friends and things at university, we're all professionals at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that anybody who's training to be a teacher would behave in a way that was inappropriate in any settings. So I don't see them differently in their blog as I do when I speak to them in person. It's a slightly more formal way of writing, perhaps. Although some people on their blogs have a more kind of chatty style anyway, it really just depends how you approach it. But we often discuss the things we write in our blogs anyway, so I can usually put a face to it when I'm reading their blogs.
I was just interested because I remember, and this went back a number of years, when the children in my class were blogging, that I quite often found that interesting from the point of view that it gave me a different view of them. Because sometimes just because when other people commented on them, and I maybe hadn't appreciated the children, because I knew them, I thought I knew them very well, and it was almost like the other thing that did the same sort of thing, which relates a wee bit to the outdoors thing, is that if you go away to an outdoor centre or something where children are doing, taken out of their normal environment, you see them in a different light, or a different, not so much a different light, you see a different side to them.
Right.
And I just wondered if there was anything in that.
I think apart from, in some cases, you get to see a bit more about them, you get to get a little bit of an insight. For example, some people posted about planning a dance lesson, And I found out that quite a few people, well, a few people in our year group have already taken part in dancing, and they're quite good at that sort of thing. So I wouldn't have known that otherwise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's quite interesting to just find out these little bits and bobs about people. But as for seeing them in a different light, probably not, to be honest.
Okay, no, it's just an interesting thing. And the other thing, I suppose the opposite of that is when you meet somebody who you've known online, and I've occasionally met people who I've known for a number of years online, and that's almost the opposite, because they're, you know, you're not seeing them day to day, and suddenly you see this person in the flesh, and it's quite interesting, because you can, and my theory has been blown out of the water, but you can see other sides to folk and, you know, other angles on them, because you meet them in the flesh, you know.
I met somebody who I'd been speaking to on Twitter, who actually goes to University of Dundee as well, but I just knew her through Twitter. And it was great to meet her, because it was kind of like we'd known each other for ages. We just kind of carried on chatting like we had been on Twitter. So it's nice to be able to make those connections with somebody that you might not have had a chance to be in contact with otherwise.
Okay. I'm conscious of time. We kind of aim at half an hour and wander around that sort of time, which we're hitting. But just when you say that, there's a notion of people talking online and on Twitter as being less real, if you know what I mean, than face to face participation.
Okay.
And I just wondered, have you got any feeling for that?
I think it feels slightly safer to say something online. It's almost kind of hiding behind the screen. I must admit, for me, doing this, just speaking as me, is slightly more intimidating than writing on my blog or tweeting, just because it feels more that I'm being judged for me, I suppose. But nah, that's just a me thing. As for being more real, I suppose it's easier to put up a fake front over a blog or over a Twitter, but yeah, I think you can usually tell.
Yeah. You don't need to worry about the radio, because of course on the radio nobody knows you're a crab. That's to reverse the old joke. So Michelle, we've dragged in a sort of vague way through your career, starting with the early years, talked a wee bit about blogging, about Twitter, about the University of Dundee. Is there anything else you would like to talk about, or just mention?
Just that I would encourage everybody to carry on engaging with things like Twitter, and to take a look at the University of Dundee blogs and to comment, because we really love feedback, and it's really great to hear when somebody engages what we've said. It's just encouraging, and if any other kind of universities or students or early years practitioners will ever get involved with blogging, we'd love to be involved with feedback and collaboration in that way as well. So please do it. And with Twitter chats, do feel free to get involved with the earliest chats. There's pretty much one on every night, I think.
The one you've got is hash childcare hour, and we'll pop that into the show notes. But if there's any others that you want to mention, you can even mention them there. You can drop me an email and I'll add them to the show notes. And I certainly would say that folks should go to the University of Dundee hub, because it's fascinating, and one of the things that just blows me away is how thoughtful folk are in teacher education compared to how thoughtless I was when I was doing the same thing. You know, I just the sort of professionalism stands out greatly, and it's blogs.glowscotland.org.uk, glowblogs/UOD.
EduShare,
which is quite a long URL to remember from the radio, but we'll stick that one in the show notes along with Michelle's Twitter account, her early years blog, and her university blog. So can I just say thanks very much, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Been lovely chatting to you.
Hope I didn't waffle too much.
I don't know. I'm never out waffled. never knowingly beaten on not keeping the conversation going smoothly. I think that's part of the charm of Edgy Talk. if you have been listening, thanks very much. As usual, you can check out edgytalk.cc for up and coming things. We're broadcasting from Tuesdays and Wednesdays most nights. I'm going to various conferences and things over the next wee while, where we'll be streaming live and bits and pieces and interviews and things. So can I just say thank you for listening. Thank you, Michelle. I'm just going to hang up the broadcast now, and I'll see you, Michelle, in a second.